You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's Food Friday time, and we're going to talk about something near and dear to many Wisconsinites, beer. And we'll be getting some ideas about how to enhance your food experience by choosing a beer that pairs well with the meal you're eating.
And we want to hear from you, too. What beers and foods go well together? Do you have a favorite beer and food pairing? Do you pay close attention to choosing that specific beer to enjoy with a meal, or you just get a good meal and a good beer and hope it all works out? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Kyle Nabilsi is a beer and food writer for Isthmus, and he joins us now to break down the many different ways that we can pair beer with food. Kyle, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get started, can you walk us through some of the different beer styles, sort of a beer 101?
Sure. The earliest fork in the family tree, I guess, of beer is ale versus lager. It doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of like the average drinking experience, because the differentiation is more on the production side than it is on like the flavor side. But there are some truisms for each style that will tell you kind of what you're getting into as a drinker, as opposed to if you were, say, a brewer. But, you know, those styles are basically determined by how hot the beer is when it's prepared, when it's fermenting, the kinds of critters that go into the fermentation process. But, you know, there are so many different kinds of ales and lagers that differ from each other that it's almost like saying, hey, the animal kingdom, it's birds and spiders, you know. So, you know, you've got things like stouts, you've got things like pale ales, and they can vary distinctly within that one style of ale. And then you have on the lager side, you've got Bock or Pilsner, things like that, where they can be very different, they can look very different. And if someone who doesn't really know a whole lot about beer were to look at them, they'd say these aren't the same beverage.
Now, I know in the wine world, there's it's like an art form, combining the right wine with the right food. If I'm in that situation, I usually just ask somebody who knows something.
Right.
Is there a comparable thing with beer?
There is, one of those things about wine that the people who advocate for wine and food pairings get a bad rap for is that it can be taken very seriously. And that's partially due to the fact that, you know, wine and food has been a thing sort of in the public consciousness for so much longer than beer and food. So you sort of have more of a reputation than you do a reality with that. I like to say, maybe this isn't the best for the interview, but there's really no don't in the do or don't list. And I think that's kind of true with wine too, but you may have fewer people who will say it. But ultimately with beer and food, you go with what works. You know, there are degrees of like certification the same way there is for wine. You know, you have sommeliers in the wine world, and there is a similar certification process for beer.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Cicerone, and that's both the noun and the name of the program. You would be a Cicerone if you went through the program. But, you know, it's getting to know the styles, how they interact with food, as well as how they're produced and things like that. So you could pursue that certification if you wanted to have your business card, have the word on it. But I think even though people are coming around to the idea of beer and food pairing, it's still a little more casual.
Do you think that there are just a few basic types that we can start out with if we want something that's not going to interfere too much with the flavor of whatever it is we're eating, something that's just going to complement it? What are one or two things you can't really go too wrong with? Sounds like everything, but beyond that.
Right. That is the thing, the rule that you can sort of apply to this is it's not necessarily a right or wrong thing, but how much do you want that interaction to be prominent? You know, do you want to basically just have your food and have a beverage that more or less just washes it down? Or do you want to have more of a equal footing kind of interaction? So if you're just looking for something that's kind of inobtrusive, something like a Kolsch is really going to do you well.
And what is a Kolsch?
A Kolsch is going to be in a lot of ways similar to the sort of American lager style of beer that, you know, the average non-self-described beer drinker would drink, you know, the Miller Lite, the Bud Light, that kind of thing. It's going to be clear. It's going to be golden. It's going to be crisp. And its flavor is not really going to step on a lot of other things. It's going to taste good on its own, but it's in terms of interacting with food, it's more or less going to take a backseat to the food itself.
And I know you said there are no don'ts, but are there cases where there's going to be a beer with a more distinctive flavor that might interfere with our entree or something?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't expect every beer to play nice with every food. So you can't have like this 12% Russian Imperial Stout with, you know, thick and black as motor oil.
So that's like that's a meal itself.
Yeah, and then pair it with sushi, you know, because it's just going to run rampant all over it. Although, and this is one of the things that really gets focused on with beer pairing, there is the idea of contrast in beer pairing, and it really does give a lot of license really to just about anything. You know, if it tastes good, go with it. But if you're looking for a justification in terms of the, you know, the world of beer and food pairing, you say, well, you know, this is a contrasting flavor, this is a contrasting element to whatever it is that I'm eating, the beer is going to be something totally different, you know. Or if you're having beef bourguignon or something really rich and savory on the food side, and then you had that Kolsch, you know, it's not, you're not going to notice the Kolsch very much. It'll be fine, but it's not going to bring its own thing to the meal the same way that a fuller bodied or a more acidic beer would.
Now, I'm someone who doesn't know a whole lot about beer. Are there types of beers or specific beers that you should avoid? You know, if you look at the wine world, there are certain wines that go in and out of fashion. People used to make fun of people who drank Chardonnay a lot. Is there a beer equivalent to that?
I don't think so. You know, the one thing that beer and craft beer will sort of take heat for is being a little too cool for school sometimes. So, you know, if you're treating it goofy and kind of being a little bit ironic about it, that's probably going to fit in okay with a lot of the, you know, people that are in the scene too, but it probably isn't giving the meal its sort of due dignity, I guess, you know, as a pairing. If you're trying to argue that beer is equivalent to wine in terms of food pairing, then sort of just throwing it together haphazardly. If you're not just saying, I don't really care, I want to have a good beer with good food, or on the other side, I want to pair something very consciously, just whipping it together doesn't really do anything any service.
Talking to Kyle Nabilsi about pairing food and beer. It's Craft Beer Week in Madison, American Craft Beer Week next week coming up, a good timely topic. Let's get into some specific foods. Let's get a good burger. What beers pop to mind if we're just having an old-fashioned beef burger?
You know, I like to think of burgers like it's a set of primary colors. You know, it's obviously it's a prepared food. It's got its own complexities, but so much of the food ingredients in a burger are kind of untouched. You know, obviously a bun is baked and a burger is cooked, but the vegetables that go on there in a very classic cheeseburger are going to be, you know, a fresh lettuce, a fresh onion, a fresh tomato, fresh pickles, those kinds of things, you know, where the flavors are really clean and just stand out on their own. I don't necessarily want to bring a whole lot to that. You know, so again, that's another place where a Kolsch or a fairly low hoppy kind of pale ale would be good, where it's crisp and it's got a little bit of bite to it to sort of cleanse your palate, because, you know, burgers have fat in them. And that's another characteristic that people always look to with beer and food pairings, is that ability to cut through a flavor. So if you've got something that's a really rich, really kind of like juicy, sort of greasy, or even, you know, like a bar burger, that kind of thing, where there's a lot of cheese and it's gooey, you want something that'll sort of cut through that, because all those fats are going to stick to your tongue. And while that's great with a burger on its own, it does kind of impede your ability to taste the other things in your meal. You know, that's where the salt and the French fries comes in, for example, you know, because it kind of wipes the palate clean a little bit. The beer can do the same thing. So I like something with a little bit of a bite to it, more or less clean, crisp, and, you know, not one that you're going to want to drink at room temperature, and one that you can drink cold and still appreciate for what it is.
You mentioned cheese. So what do you recommend for either like a cheese tasting menu, or maybe you want to sit down to a basket of fried cheese curds? Is there a do or a don't there for that? What goes well?
Well, we'll take an order. If you're doing a cheese plate, I mean, everyone likes to do kind of a variety with a cheese plate. So, I mean, if you've got a couple of beers in your fridge and you're inviting people over to do this, you know, have a little dinner party or, you know, something like that, that's a perfect opportunity to open up a bottle and pour it in small portions for everybody and have the same kind of tasting menu with the beer that you do with the cheese. So if you've got something kind of nutty, like a Gouda or something like that, you could do an alt beer that's going to have the same sort of nutty characteristics that'll play nicely with that, or a nut brown, you know, ale on the other side. If you're doing something really gooey, you know, like a brie, you might want to go with something a little more potent, because that cheese is going to be sort of funky and rich, and you'll want something a little bit more either acidic or carbonated, you know, really well carbonated to sort of break through that on your palate. And, you know, if you did something like a Pleasant Ridge Reserve, you know, something that's a harder cheese, or a cheddar, you know, a cheddar you can play a lot with because those flavors are so big. You know, milk stout is really nice with a cheddar, sort of play off of that sort of creamy mouthfeel and the obviously the dairy angle, but then the milk stout's got the roasted malts
Is that what makes it a milk stout, roasted malt?
Lactose is actually the sugar inclusion in there. Yeah, it's an unfermentable sugar, so it creates a certain mouthfeel and a little bit of sweetness as well that mimics the kind of sensation you'd get with milk.
Now, say we're having like a spicy dish. I read somewhere that sweet calms heat. Sweet beers with our spicy, I don't know, Mexican food, Indian food, Thai food?
Yeah, I do tend to stick to the school that the only thing that's going to save you if you're eating spicy food is milk.
Uh-huh. But not a milk stout.
Not a milk stout, right. I mean, you could give it a shot. Why not? If it works, it works. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of conventional wisdom that, you know, you drink IPAs with spicy food because, you know, the India Pale Ale, it hails back to India. And typically a lot of people have this conception of Indian food and curries as being very spicy. They may not always be, but it's that kind of thought process as well. You know, you've got something really spicy, you need something to kind of distract your palate a little bit and sort of break through that, so that bitter can sort of calm it down a little bit. Sweet beers are typically a thicker mouthfeel as well, you know, with those sugars that are in there. So that's certainly something that can sort of give a soothing sensation definitely to your palate, whether it's like a barley wine or a Doppelbock, something like that, that's really going to sort of lay its own hammer down on your tongue and, you know, to sort of fight back the spice. Yeah.
We're talking to beer and food writer Kyle Nabilsi about choosing the perfect beer to enjoy with your meal. Craft Beer Week here in Madison. Next week is American Craft Beer Week. Thought it was a perfect time to take up the topic.
And we're taking your calls, too. What are your favorite beer and food combinations? Have you come across any secret hits that work well together? Call in, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our Food Friday discussion right now about beer and food pairings with Isthmus beer and food writer Kyle Nabilsi. Madison is nearing the end of Craft Beer Week, and American Craft Beer Week is right around the corner, so we're getting some recommendations.
And you can join in with yours. What beers and foods go well together? Is there something you always serve when you grill out? Something you always get when you get the fish fry? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Larry on the line in Dubuque, Iowa. Larry, hi.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to say I was able to student teach over in Germany as part of my education, and they were famous for smoked beer over there. But my main point is that whenever I had Wiener Schnitzel or any other kind of thinner meat that was breaded, I had a half liter of a Hefeweizen with it, which is perfectly crisp. And it tied in together really well with anything that I had for a meal over there.
Larry, thank you so much for sharing that experience. So Hefeweizen, that's a half wheat beer. Is that what that means?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty yeasty. It'll be cloudy. This is the style of beer that you typically see with an orange or a lemon stuck into the glass. You know, within the beer, it's providing a little bit of contrast to the not heavier nature necessarily of the beer, but the thicker, the cloudier nature. You have that little bit of sort of acidic punch to it.
So I think you mentioned smoked beer. Did I hear that
yeah,
right?
What's that?
What is smoked beer?
Rauchbier is the German. Yeah, that's the style name. And typically what that means, I mean, 99 out of 100 times what that means is that the malt has been smoked. So whether the barley or, you know, whatever grain is going into the beer, it's spent some time in a smoker. It's taken on smoky flavors, smoky elements.
Really?
Due to
actual, like a smoked cheese or a smoked meat, it's going to taste like
exactly
that?
Exactly the same way. Yeah, Rauchbiers are famous/infamous for tasting a little bit hammy, a little bit like bacon. And you can really dial that up to a degree that gets pretty tough to get behind sometimes. And like, I like my bacon, I like my ham, I don't necessarily want it with my beer in the glass at the same time.
Okay, so what about a cheese soup? If you're cooking with a recipe that might have bacon, like a cheese soup, is this a good beer to put in there?
Rauchbier, yeah, absolutely. I have a can of a stout that has cumin in it, which isn't smoked, but it's got a very strong cumin-y flavor, and it has that sort of slightly smoky, slightly spicy flavor to it. And I've got plans for making chili with that. You know, it's really thick, it's deep, roasty beer flavors, but then in addition to that, it's got some of these adjunct flavors, these added ingredients beyond the traditional four that really brings a lot of flavor to the beer. One thing I wouldn't recommend, and this is from personal experience at home, is if you're going to make a soup, really of any kind that includes beer, stay away from hops. And this is kind of true with cooking with beer in general, although, again, there's no hard and fast don't, but be very careful if you're cooking or making a soup or whatever with a hoppy or an otherwise bitter beer, those flavors that taste really great in the glass or the bottle or the can are going to break down, and those volatile oils and flavor components are going to start to do different things. And if you don't want to have a really sort of pungent, bitter French onion soup, for example, which is what we find out at my house, that using an amber ale with a lot of hops in it is just not the way to go for a French onion soup, because it's just going to taste really harsh. So you got to look out for that when you're cooking with beer.
Our caller was talking about a German beer with a German food. Are you always pretty safe going with beer from the country of origin of your food?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that sort of has given craft beer its prominence lately is that sort of parallel drive to locality. You know, eating and drinking things that are near to you, to where you are. So, you know, pairing a beer from Japan with sushi, that certainly works. You know, obviously the people in Japan are doing just fine with that menu. But you don't have to. You know, that's the thing about craft beer, is that it really, you can run globally.
It's the international language.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, whatever works in your pairing, go nuts.
Now, you gave us some suggestions for entrees and beers in restaurants around Wisconsin. Start us off in Milwaukee. Where should we go, and what should we pair?
Well, just the last few days ago was the James Beard Awards gala, which for the first time in its 25-year history was held in Chicago, so into the Midwest. It's normally been in New York every year prior. And Justin Carlisle at Milwaukee's Ardent Restaurant was a nominee for Best Chef Midwest. He didn't win, but there's always next year. But one thing that he does pretty interestingly with his restaurant is he closes down at sort of a normal closing time in the evening on, I believe it's Fridays and Saturdays, but instead of going home for the night, turns it into a ramen shop. So he pulls the shades, puts a red light bulb in, and calls the place Red Light Ramen. So he's got big, rich, steaming hot, you know, savory bowls of tonkatsu ramen. So it's got pork bone. It's going to have a really strong flavor, very rich. It's going to coat your tongue in a lot of different ways. And he serves exactly one beer, and it's PBR. this is where I was saying you can kind of roll with a little bit of the ironic beer menu. He does also serve cocktail slushies. He's got an old-fashioned slushie, and then I think he does a rotating second cocktail slushie. So it's, you know, the brandy slush that everybody in Wisconsin above the legal drinking age knows about. So he does that. And, you know, it actually does work. The idea, you know, with a PBR and a big bowl of ramen, it makes sense. It's going to be served cold. It's crisp. It's kind of inobtrusive. So, you know, you're taking big slurps of your noodles, and every now and then you sort of cut through all that flavor and heat, temperature heat, not spice heat, with a cold, crisp, refreshing drink of beer, or, you know, the cocktail slushy if it works. I would say, you know, let's say you got a bowl to take home and you had a glass of beer with that at home. I would say my dream pairing would be New Glarus's Berliner Weiss beer. Just came out in this year's iteration. They've found that it's a pretty solid hit in their seasonal lineup. And it's another German-style beer, similar in a lot of ways to the Hefeweizen that the caller was talking about. But it's going to be tangier. It's on that sort of path towards a sour beer. It's going to be brisk, though. It's not going to be like vinegar necessarily, really heavy, oppressively sour.
And can you briefly take us to Appleton? You had a combo there, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Again, another German tie-in. There's a brew pub up there, Stone Cellar. Appleton's my hometown area, so I do a good bit of dining and drinking when I'm visiting up there with family. The chef there, Brady Ahrens, does a Jaeger Schnitzel. So pounded, you know, pork, breaded, fried. From the beer list there, you know, the Scottish ale seemed like a pretty good pairing with that. You know, something that's hearty, got a little bit of a roasty element to it. You know, some caramelized flavors that are going to go well with a dish that's heavy like that, and, you know, the vegetables that would accompany it. Throwing another dream pairing in there, you know, if you could do an all-star team kind of pairing meal, I might go close to the Scottish ale and do Carbon Four's Lady Luck Irish Red. I really like that beer. Where it differs from, say, the Scottish ale or the average Scottish ale is it's got a little bit more of a hop presence. So it's going to cut through some of those fatty, richer flavors, and that bitterness is just going to dial down some of the sweetness from the, you know, the sauce and the caramelized breading, you know, the fried breading, provide a little bit more contrast.
All right, Kyle, a lot of great ideas. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You bet.
That was Kyle Nabilsi, food and beer writer for Isthmus. He joined us to talk about beer and food pairings on the eve, more or less, of American Craft Beer Week.